Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. And we want to read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 verse 13 to 14. It has been one of the constant scriptures through all the corporate anointing teaching. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For his good, for his mercies endureth forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Verse 14. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. The gospel according to Saint Matthew. The chapter 5 verse 14 all the way to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Our last reading, the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. We are all going to read together. The book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all. Oh, church, we are reading together. Let's go. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. The last sentence, you all are partakers with me of grace. It pleased the Lord that we still continue on the matter of the corporate anointing. And today we want to continue with what we started last week, the balanced operation of the anointing. Today is the part two of it. So it's what we're going to talk about today is not new to any of us. Hallelujah. Last week we started with a topic very interesting about the concept of the anointing as we are running up with the corporate anointing. And one of the scriptures that stood out for us last week was in the book of Ecclesiastes. Do you remember Ecclesiastes? Do you remember Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 16? Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 16 says that we shouldn't be too righteous and we shouldn't be too what? Foolish. Is that not so? Yeah. Do not be overly righteous nor be overly what? Wise. So this scripture was a standing point for us to look at finding balance between the things that we do. And we found out that in the givings of God's anointing, in the operations of God's anointing, there are two sides of it. That whenever we are into God's anointing, we must find balance in the individual operations of the anointing and the corporate operations of the anointing. And we looked at least three things or three ways by which we can bring balance to the operations of the anointing. Do you remember that? Okay, so today we want to continue with another three that I think it will be enough for us to seal that way. And I said that if we do not find balance in the things we do, you'll find out that we either become overly wise or overly righteous. And we find out that in the book of Proverbs, God hates abomination. Unbalanced scale is an abomination before God. So one of the things we are struggling in today's generation as Christians is finding the balance between the practices of what? A divine concept or a divine order or a divine practices. Today we want to continue in the same manner. Now, there is an introduction I want to take us through today to still continue in what we did last week. Now, there are two keywords that we normally use to refer to the manifestation of the anointing. At any given moment of our gathering, we speak about the anointing as an atmosphere or an unction, true or false. So whenever we meet, you see that we always talk about the anointing as an atmosphere or an what? Unction. Now, the truth of the matter is that these two words are not synonymous. They are not words that are used interchangeably because they are similar or they are the same. These two words are different. And in fact, in concept and in definition and in practice, they stand for the manifestations of the anointing in the two different ways that we already know. That is, we use the word atmosphere to refer to the shared spiritual climate where God's presence saturates the gathering. This form of the manifestation of the anointing is what we call the corporate anointing. So when there is a shared climate, I will explain later, we will talk about this, a saturated atmosphere of God, we talk about it as what? An atmosphere. The place is saturated with the presence of God. We said the atmosphere. So have you heard of this song? Atmosphere. I don't know how to sing it. Is it Phil Thompson, right? How do we sing that song? Where are they? Oh, Omowakati, I want to hear you sing it so that we all learn it. So you see, there's a song talking about atmosphere. Do you understand? Theophilus Sunday will let you. There is what? An atmosphere. When nothing is what? Impossible. You remember that song? So he's talking about the anointing. He's not talking about anything different. But this form of anointing is the representation of what we call the corporate what? Anointing. Whenever we want to talk about corporate anointing, the key word or the terminology we always talk about it, or we used to refer it to, the atmosphere. Hallelujah. So in our first reading in 2 Chronicles, we saw that this atmosphere we are crying about was manifested in the garden of what? A garden of the people of Israel. And the priest could not enter that kind of atmosphere. So when we meet together as Christians or together as church, one of the manifestations of the anointing we pray for is what? Atmosphere, right? The atmosphere must be charged. We have to what? Charge the atmosphere. It's an anointing we are talking about. Then from there, another word which we also know we use for atmosphere is the word unction, to refer to the flow of God's power through an individual. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 20, that's where the word was mentioned, the word unction is being used. This form of manifestation is the individual word, manifestation of the anointing. Now let's look at, but you have an anointing. If you read the King James Version, he says that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Therefore, when we talk about unction, it's talking about the individual out anointing at work. So this term makes us know that whenever we come together as Christians and we meet, we are expecting two different manifestations or two sides of the anointing. That is an atmosphere and then what? An unction. Is that not so? That means that it plays on us to find balance. Since when we gather, we want an atmosphere and we want an unction to what? To work. Hallelujah. Thus, when an atmosphere is charged, as we usually say it. Now, the reason why we know or we see or we cry for the two different sides of the anointing is how we see them work. Now, when we know that an atmosphere is charged, one of the typical things we see is that the people are healed, convicted, people are filled with the Holy Spirit without any contact. Have you been to a garden where by the charged atmosphere, things are happening and nobody's touching anybody? You know, some place you have to touch you before things will happen to you. But there are some moments you get there and then things are happening, nobody's touching anybody. Everybody is busy doing something and people are already receiving or doing are receiving. That is an atmosphere. And we all know at that moment, the atmosphere is what? Is charged. But when it comes to the unction, when we talk about unction, the unction is at work. We sense a flow of divine enablement within us, individual, that makes our words, our actions, or our touch carry power. So when we say an unction is working, we sense it, the individual, that when I spoke, something happened. Come out. Then something happened. Say, yes, I'm anointed. How many of you have ever felt that way before? you touch somebody and the person fell. That is the day. Me too, I have some. Is that not it? That moment, you don't talk about atmosphere. What do you say? Unction. Because something is flowing through you. You can sense something flowing out of when you spoke. You understand? When you took an act, when you lay hand, when you touch somebody, something happened. When it happens that way, we call that what? Unction. Are you with me? So naturally, we as Christians have grown to know that whenever we cry for the manifestation of the anointing, we know that there are two ways it can appear. Number one, an atmosphere can be released. That also. And then the individual also can flow in the work of the power of God. So it means that at our gathering, we look forward to see the balanced operation of these two. So that it's not only that we are praying that the individual or the individual is praying that power will flow through them, but we're also praying that there could be what, an atmosphere. That's how you come and you meet together as Christians and we are praying. There are songs we sing that indicate that we want an atmosphere. Do you understand? And there are songs we sing that indicate that we want anointing towards. Why do you sing? Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. As a vessel. Use me, Lord. Now, if he's using what will flow through, it's not power. Are you with me? So we have oriented ourselves in that regard. Hallelujah. Now, this is the truth. There's one interesting thing about these two forms of operation. Both the unction and the atmosphere are not mutually exclusive in operation whenever God's anointing is being released. Now, the very dangerous thing is that whenever anointing is being released or the power of God is being released, the unction and then the atmosphere are not mutually exclusive. They all come. In fact, God does not release them exclusively. I'm going to explain to you why. Most times we concentrate, see, because of how we want things to be done, we do concentrate on one than the other. But the truth of the matter is that both of them, they cannot work exclusively. Hallelujah. So they actually work together to complement each other. They actually work together to complement each other. And in the complement of each other, you see that whatever is being done over there, you see an efficiency and effectiveness of God's power at work. That is, Holy Spirit moves in a person and among the people simultaneously for the fullness of God's work. The Holy Spirit, listen to the statement I made, moves in a person and among his people simultaneously for the fullness of God's work. Now, let's take a scripture to examine what I'm talking about here. I'm still talking about balancing the operations of the anointing, which I already started to let you know that whenever we gather, there are two key words we always use for anointing, atmosphere and what? Unction. Is that not it? Because we believe that we need both of them. Is that not so? And we believe that both of them must work. But sometimes, because of our human nature and how we are oriented, we do want to focus on one of them. But in all reality, the two works together simultaneously to complement each other for the effectiveness and efficiency of God's power. And let's take a scripture, okay, to do a proper understanding or do a proper work on this very concept. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, what we did last week. How corporate anointing and individual anointing work simultaneously. So we are going to read and then we are all going to go through it. Now watch. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied among them. Let's move to the verse 11. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Now, I said that the corporate anointing and the individual anointing, they work, they move together. They complement each other. And they what? Happen simultaneously. Now, the verse 10, let's look at something about them. From the verse 10, we can see that the scripture is placing emphasis on corporate anointing, Which is the atmosphere? How did he define it? The company of what? Prophets. Now, when prophets come together, there is something they ought. They generate. There's an atmosphere they ought. They generate. Now, you remember that this incident happened twice in the lives of Saul. The first one was this. The second one was when he was chasing David. And David ran to Samuel. And when he got there, they said the prophets were prophesying. And then instantly, he fell under the anointing. So, you see that the atmosphere was a prophetic atmosphere. Are you following me? So, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. What were they doing? Group of prophets that were doing something prophetic. Is that not so? And then the Spirit of God did what? Came upon him. The atmosphere in our heart came upon him. Because of what was going on. Now, what happened next? When you read, you see that the corporate anointing activated the individual anointing. How? The Bible says he began to what? Prophesy. We said that the individual anointing, we know it by how, when we speak, are you with me? Or when we touch people, actions we take, and it releases power, we know that this is what? The individual anointing working. So when they saw that Saul was prophesying, what was he communicating to them? They saw power, because to prophesy, it takes divine power to come upon you. So in the verse 11, you saw that the people were saying that, is it not the son of Kish that we know? Since when did he also have that power to what? Speak the mind of God. Now, how did he speak the mind of God? The atmosphere was charged with a prophetic company. That was the first thing. Is that also? Now, the second thing was that the Spirit of God came upon him. Then what happened? He what? Prophesied. Which sort? The individual what? Unction. So, if Saul wanted to prophesy and that he was not in that atmosphere, could he have prophesied? No. So you could see that the atmosphere impacted on the gift. Because in the previous verse, you saw that the Bible said he was a changed man. Someone said he was what? He's going to encounter the prophet and he'll become a what? A changed man. So that changed man was meaning that something new has entered him. That must manifest. How did it come about? When he found himself in what? A corporate what? Atmosphere. Then the individual unction begins to what? To flow. So, in every given instance, for your individual unction to be very effective and efficient, it needs the corporate anointing. And for corporate anointing to also be regarded and respected and acknowledged, the individual anointing must what? Must work. How will we know that God is here if we are not seeing individual manifesting it? Are we there? Do you get where we are right now? So corporate anointing and individual anointing are not independent from each other. They work together. Therefore, corporate anointing and the individual anointing are not rivals, but partners. God uses individual anointing to spark, and the corporate anointing to sustain. So when God wants to do something, okay, you see that an individual anointing can start it or spark it up. But for whatever that has been started, it needs a corporate anointing. Have you heard Troboy? I have the word Troboy. What does it mean? So when you see that God wants to do something, he will call an individual to start it. Do you get it? Then when that individual starts it, he will begin to release that atmosphere over the rest of the people over there. Then the individuals now become two or three. And then you see that there's a grace of what? Sustenance. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 11. Let's read the scripture. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here the Bible is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. In verse 4 of this very chapter, he said it is the same Spirit, but diversities of what? In the Spirit, by what? It's the same Spirit that gives them all. Now watch here. There are diversities of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. Take me to the verse 11 now. I want to show you something here. That individual will spark, but the sustenance is what? By the corporate order. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. So if you see healing going on, deliverance going on, word of knowledge going on, word of wisdom at the same time happening. It is not different spirits. It's the same spirit. So they are not rivals. So there is no way that the gift that operates in you, the spirit that is operating in you to cause healing, will be against word of knowledge. No, it cannot be possible. Because they are partners. So you find out that whatever that you do by the operations of the gift of God in you, as a result of the unction that came upon that gift, should not be in rivalry to what this person will do with the gift at work in her. So no matter what you do, the corporate anointing is always there to show that the individual unction is not rivalry to each other. So there is no way that somebody will stand somewhere and say that, oh, when this one does something, this is not of God, my own is of God. Are we on the same page now? So the reason why we are seeing division in the church is because we are so emphasized on unction, individual, but we don't put emphasis on the corporate, the atmosphere. Because what I do complements what you do. So that you heard the story of Father Nash and then William Branham, is that not so? Father Nash was a great intercessor. He was not a preacher. His own is prayer. And then William was the preacher of the word. Very anointed preacher. Now, whenever the two of them want to cause havoc, Father Nash will take the lead and create an atmosphere of intercession at that place. Then he will come. By the time they are done with that place, the gifts are not rivalry with each other. They partner each other. That is why atmosphere and unction move together. The problem is we have not been able to what? Find the balance. So why is it that you have the word of knowledge, I have the word of wisdom, and I minister, and you said that what I use was wrong? Because there's no balance. Are we on the same page now? So if we pray for atmosphere and the same time we are praying for unction to work, then we have to know that these two are not two different people going their separate ways. Even though they are distinct in their operations, they work together to what? Complement each other. So we cannot use the anointing, or we cannot claim that the anointing of God is working, when we cannot see the partnership of the unction and then the atmosphere. It's not true. Hallelujah. Therefore, let's continue on the aspect of what? Balancing. So how then do we balance the work of the anointing in terms of the unction and the atmosphere? The fourth one today, because we have already done three. Okay. The fourth one we are going to look at today is the scope of reach and impact. If we want to balance the operations of the anointing, if we want to be balanced in the operations of the anointing, one of the things that we have to concentrate on is the scope of reach and impact of the two. In our effort to balance the operations of the anointing, we cannot neglect the defined scope of reach and impact for the individual anointing and the corporate anointing. Now, with the individual anointing, the scope of individual anointing is to bring to pass a specific task or assignment that an individual's calling and gift are meant for. Are you following me? Now, if we want to balance the operations of the atmosphere and unction, we have to look at the scope to which the individual anointing can reach and impact, and that of the corporate anointing. Now, this is how we draw the line. When it comes to the individual anointing, the unction, the first thing we have to realize is that it cannot go beyond what God has wired the person to become. That is the calling and the gift that God has given the person to release the calling. So if the individual is a gifted singer, are you following me? When the anointing comes, the unction comes on that person cannot be somebody who operates in the word of knowledge. Are you with me? You see that the person will struggle, even though the anointing can come upon you. Are you following me? You will struggle. You will struggle. Because the scope of operation of the anointing is limited to the what? The gifts and the calling upon your life. Nobody can go beyond it. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Do you know, sometimes when we come to a place and the power of God is released so much, people want to do beyond what they can do. See, God is set so that it's like trying to use this microphone, okay, to do the work of what the keyboard does. Even though both of them needs what? Power. You know that the Holy Spirit, when it comes in the form of anointing, we call it power. Is that not so? Both, every machine here needs power. Is that not so? By unction, every machine here will only function when the power comes according to how they are being designed. That is the calling and the gifts that comes along with the calling. Now, let's listen to what the Bible said. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of what? Christ's what? Gifts. Now, the Christ gift over here is also talking about the callings of God. It's talking about the callings of God. So when God calls somebody an apostle, okay, the scope of reach of that person by unction, I'm talking about unction, is that he will function as an apostle, not as a prophet, not as a teacher. He cannot do that. If God calls somebody, the gift of Christ in you is the teaching gift. You are called as a teacher, by unction, you function as a teacher. And you see that the gift that God has also given to you will also respond to that of the anointing. So it is so strange that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, working, and you see people doing many things. The same power. It's not so strange. It's just like you go to the kitchen, and when there is light, blender is doing what it's supposed to do. The fridge is doing what it's supposed to do. But it's the same what? Electricity. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So this one is talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and including the individual talents that we have. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to what? Our faith. This will help us to balance ourselves in the use of the anointing. Because you know that when the power of God wants to flow through me, as I stand here, it cannot flow beyond my calling and my gifts. So if I'm not gifted to minister in songs, I'll not even try it. I'm conscious of it. That it will be an attempt to misuse the anointing for what it is not meant for. Because that is not what is what. Who has ever heated food with blender before? Let me see my hand. If I've heated food with blender, how many of you have tried to heat food by refrigerator? You are hungry and you came and then you got the food and then you decided to put it inside the freezer so that the food will become very hot. Let me see my hands. How? Why? Why wouldn't you do that? It will be the abuse of what? Electricity, right? Is that not so? Because the power running through the refrigerator is not meant to make it hot. But you dare put it in what? A microwave. There you see that indeed the anointing is there. The anointing to make food hot. Because that is what is wired to do. So that is why you see that when we normally function under the anointing, it is focused on impacting individuals through miracles, healing, teaching, preaching, because we are responding to our individual calling and what? And gifts. That's why if you say somebody's anointed, you will track it to an individual's what? Gift or calling. How can you call me anointed if there is no act of gift or calling working? You will not see it. So for somebody to track the callings of God, track the work of anointing on you, you see that it will be what your gifts
And your calling is what? Doing by the empowerment of what? The Holy Spirit. So the scope of oppression, or the scope of impact of what? The individual anointing, unction, is limited to your gifts and your calling. What about corporate anointing? Do you know that because our gifts and calling is the one that makes the unction to be manifested, when we gather for crusades, you see that the impact, because it's so focused, the impact will only be seen in the grace and calling. Now imagine we organize crusade. Are you listening to me? We organize crusade, and the focus of the crusade is evangelism, soul winning. Okay? Then, I want to give a very typical example. You bring Reverend Ransford Robin to come and preach at the crusade. How many souls are you going to win? Are you following me? You know that when we were in school, we invite speakers based on the grace of God we see on their head and the program we want to organize, two of us. How many of you have organized prayer programs in your university campus and invited Bishop Dag? Does that mean he doesn't pray? So you see that when we gather for crusades and other stuff, the only way people benefit from that gathering is what the unction can do through the giftings and the calling of the person. So if we gather and people want healing, and there is somebody there who does not operate in the gift of healing, you see, few people will not be blessed, especially those who want healing. That's why in corporate gathering, it is not advisable that one person does everything. That's why Paul said, some of you come with hymns, others with songs, because something that operates on your gift and calling will release something to bless somebody. When we are leading worship, you don't know that whilst they are leading you, their unction on them can also release something to you. Now let's look at the corporate anointing. But with corporate anointing, which is the atmosphere, the reach and impact is targeted at a region, a city, or a nation. So whenever we want to reach out to a nation, reach out to a city, a locality, that one is not the work of an individual anointing. The unction, no. The individual anointing works on the people individually. But the corporate anointing targets the nation. It targets the city. It targets the region we want to. How? The reach and impact of corporate anointing is a cultural and behavioral transformation of a region or a city or a nation. If you see a place, a locality, a region, a place, a nation, a group of people begin to live according to certain pattern of life as a result of something done spiritually over there, that anointing responsible is not an individual unction. Anointing responsible is called a corporate anointing. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. That means that the behavior of the people over there changes. That is why you have seen that we hold individual crusades. Are you with me? We do huge programs, but the place we are, nothing is changing. Do you know why? Wrong target. Wrong use of the anointing. The anointing we need to cause a change is not the individual. So we think that, oh, when we organize a program and then Pastor Bless come, by the time it's done, everybody there will change. You lie. Though whatever happens over there will continue to happen. Now, let's see. Where we are right now, if we find out that the behavior patterns of the people is immorality. Are you following me? The behavior pattern of the area is immorality. And then we want to make sure that we deal with that thing. What the individual anointing can do, are you following me? Is that the one by one, okay? The individual people involved. When I preach by the anointing, their heart can be touched.
individually. Are you following me? And then they can change. But whatever they are doing is not as a result of their individual nature too. It's also as a result of the atmosphere over there. Do you know that every region has an atmosphere? Do you know why a child in East Legon may not be so exposed to sexual immorality, but a child in Ashaman is likely to? Do you know why? Atmosphere. You don't know. The atmosphere in East Legon does not permit you to go out. You are not so free. You are caged. When you go there, you are caged. You understand? Your movement is regulated from school to church to house. You are under surveillance. So if it is in you to do it, because you are not given the time and the exposure to do it, you cannot do it. That is why most of you ladies were virgins till you went to SHS. Oh, check. Let's take record. You find out that most people lost their virginity when they were out of that surveillance. Now, when they enter an atmosphere, especially level 100, 80% of ladies who lost their virginity lost it in level 100. When they entered there, daddy and mommy is not there. House mistress is not there. Nobody tells them what to do and what not to go. Now, that atmosphere over there is now going to act on their individual character trait, that hidden nature, that works of the flesh, that wanted way to act. Now it is now exposed to the right condition atmosphere, so that person now can now exploit what the body has been demanding, because the atmosphere is what is good. So you preach, the person will receive Christ and change. 2 weeks later, he's back. Do you know why? It is an atmosphere issue. So it seems like the church, we are doing so much, but nothing is changing because we are not targeting the atmosphere. So you see how we are suffering. Now, if we want to deal with that, do you know what you do? You target the atmosphere. What happens? You enthrone God in that atmosphere. So when we begin to worship corporately, do you understand? In unity, we begin to raise God over there, magnify God over there, intensify God, the work of God. You know, the unity in the spirit. God comes and overthrows whatever powers in the atmosphere. So now, when you preach to the people, because God rules in that atmosphere, the work of God begins to manifest so strong in the people, because the atmosphere is now controlled by God. Are you on the same page now? So in the scope of reach and not impact, we can reach individuals. Do you know that some people will come to church, you pray for them, they'll be healed, they'll go back home and the sickness will come back. And they say the man of God is not anointed. Who told you? He's anointed. But the atmosphere is stronger than what is in the person. The atmosphere there overrules it. So even though the healing is hidden behind it, the atmosphere overrules it and makes sure that it has its place. So sometimes, do you know what we do? We change the atmosphere. Do you know that sometimes when you relocate somebody from some place physically to another place, certain things stop happening to the person? See, we can pray and minister to you, but if you don't learn to sustain the atmosphere in that place through corporate anointing, whatever you have can be taken from you. So in Acts chapter 17 verse 6, transforming people is not about just discipling them, reaching them individually. You must be conscious of the atmosphere they belong. The reason why you come to church every Sunday, is because there's an atmosphere that influences you all the time. So when you go, you come 1 week, at least whatever garbage that happened to you, when you come here, the atmosphere will... Let's read. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out. What did they say? These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. When corporate anointing is working, everybody will see that the place has been turned upside down. That means that the things that they used to do, now they are doing the opposite. So there are testimonies of men of God who went to places to preach and alcohol was not sold there for years.
That one is an atmosphere work. We must now see that if we want to break the individual people from an act, the atmosphere must also be what? Must be touched. That's why I encourage Christians to make good use of their social media. We are in contention for atmosphere. So if we don't learn to balance the equation in this manner, you see that even though individual anointing will minister to the people individually, it is only few that will be able to hold it. But majority of the people will never benefit, because there's an atmosphere stronger and working against them. If all the churches in Ghana here come together and decide to pursue something for 1 month, do you know what will happen to this nation? Something happened recently. Most of you have not taken note. Two powerful artists in this country decided to share stage together simultaneously in a space of 1 week. I think I'm right. Have you seen what's happening now? You are not following. You think it's enlightening? These two people are giants of the music industry in Ghana here. And this is what they did on both stage. They reconciled with their past and reconciled with anybody they had issue with, and they decided that they're going to form a united front. Do you know why? See, the devil is on course now. We are here fighting. They know that to sustain the atmosphere for what they want to do, they must be in a united front. So those two programs, for the first time, I saw this thing trending on Twitter. I said, oh, you may take it lightly. I didn't take it lightly. Now, those people who went under that atmosphere, you can preach all you want to preach. Now you see what the Legon campus, now people are complaining that when it is what is the name of that hall? Pent Hall Week. Nothing goes on campus. It's because the atmosphere is not for you. The atmosphere does not belong to you. So they can allow you. See, it is the atmosphere. They are in charge. So when they need their people, they will obey them. It must be an issue of contention for the atmosphere. So as long as you people want to do individual show, unction, without not thinking of the atmosphere, you can never be productive there. When I was in UCC, one of the things I targeted as a prayer director was to read the atmosphere and make sure that I frustrate the works of the devil. Hallelujah. So, Azusa Street Revival, the Walls Revival, the Bronzeville Revival, the move of God that took place in the early 1920s to 1950s in Ghana, you call the Pentecostal move or revival, are all the scope of the corporate anointing, an example of the scope of the corporate anointing. It was not an individual work. So the revival, you could see that when it happened, even though there was an individual who was leading, they know them, you saw that the impact was an atmosphere thing. To the extent that one revival made sure that prison was empty for 2.5 years because they were not getting criminals. Can you just imagine that in Ghana here, prison service came to announce that for the past 2 years, their prison cells are empty. Nobody is committing crime. I pray that God will help us. You see, some of the things that we do, we are so satisfied with our individual. No. That's why I see that you work and work and work. Is it one of the most painful things as a pastor is to work on somebody for a time, and by the time you realize, in 3 days' time, he's back. Or she's back in the same thing. It's time to contend for the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Therefore, if we seek to impart the individuals to the unction at work in us, we must also seek to impact the jurisdiction we belong through corporate anointing. And that's what our second reading, Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, was telling us. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city. He didn't say, you see, when he was saying you are the light, he now went ahead to make it clear what that light stands for.
That's one person build a city. That's one person build a city. God. So when Jesus was talking, he was talking to the corporate body over there. That you are the unified system over there. You are the light, not an individual. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Continue, verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp. Now we are coming to an individual. And put it under a basket. So you see, there's a difference between a lamp and a what? A light. But on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in what? The house. So when we talk about a jurisdiction. So for everybody to see, do you know the Bible said that for this world is in an outermost darkness. And the Bible said there's a God of this world that has blinded people not to see. So a light must be shone on their eyes. A stronger light that they will see. Now when they see, now they will hear. Let your light so shine before men. Why did he say you should do what? You should do a shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, one of the key balance we have to seek with regards to the corporate anointing and the individual anointing is the scope and reach and impact. Number two, the act of continuity. One of the very dangerous ones is this. The act of continuity. So, not only do we balance the operations of the anointing by reach and impact, we also have to look at the act of continuity. Now, what do that mean? We all know that the agenda for a place, or God's agenda for a place, is meant to be transgenerational. That is, whatever God starts does not end with the people he started with. It goes beyond them. See, anything you see God doing in your life, I want to put it to you that it goes beyond you. That's why you have to be very careful. Genesis chapter 17 verse 7. Let's read some scriptures here. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting what? Covenant. To be God to you and your descendants after you. So when God called Abraham, he made it clear to him that I will not be God to you only. My agenda goes beyond you. My agenda goes beyond you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul told Timothy, said that, and the things that you have heard from me, means that the things that God has given me, instructed me, among many witnesses, what did he say? Commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Also. So Paul is saying that the revelation that I have received, it goes beyond me. It goes beyond you, Timothy. You must commit that revelation. You must commit that instruction. You must commit whatever that I have come to teach you, have learned from me, by action or by word, to faithful men. Not only should they also hold it, they should do what? Teach others what? Also. This stands to say that God's agenda always goes beyond you. It will be very dangerous to think that you are all God's agenda. You lie. You are not. So how does this affect the act of continuity? Since individual anointing, okay, so now since God's agenda is transgenerational, we the individuals involved only play specific tasks for a specific period and then we fade away for the next people to take over. So in God's agenda are individual tasks. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. Very interesting scripture.
You are not all God's agenda. You are just playing a tax in the agenda. When you are done with your own, another person takes over. Listen to what Paul said. I did what? Planted. Apollos did what? Watered. So in all the agenda of God that Paul was doing was all about planting. So if Paul thought that I am all to the agenda of God, do you know the harm he would have caused? He would have planted and they'll never be watering. And that's what most of us are doing. See, that is why Daddy always said this. Any man of God who forbid you to listen to other men of God or read any material or do anything, that person ran away for your life. Because the person cannot minister the whole counsel of God to you. It's the truth. As individual anointing, as we are ministering to people by performing individual tasks God has given us, watch. Individual anointing is tied to our temporal operations in relation to the task we are to do in fulfilling God's agenda at a place. So let me give you an example. Do you remember the temple that Solomon built? Do you remember? Who got the materials? It was David. Who did the building? Solomon. Our individual unction is only tied to the task we are supposed to perform in the agenda. When we are done with the task, we are over. And it is over. But corporate anointing is responsible for the continuity of the agenda beyond the individual task. And how does the corporate anointing do this? I hope you are seeing the balance here. Do you know why? Let me say this before I continue. Why many charismatic churches are under the threat of extinction? It is because most of the founders or the pioneers thought or think or concluded that they are all to the work. So they brought people to surround them, but they never had the idea that they are only performing a task. One of the things that Daddy taught us, or Daddy always say, is that this church or this ministry does not belong to him. He is doing his part. Let us also do what? Our part. He knows that the work goes beyond him. What God wants to do goes beyond him. So, individual anointing is needed to perform the individual task for the agenda. But the individual anointing cannot sustain the agenda. It goes beyond it. So we need the corporate anointing to sustain it. And the corporate anointing does this through an enduring spiritual structure. So you see that anytime corporate anointing is at work, this, note these three things I'm going to mention. You see them very common at work. Number one, you see local churches. You see discipleship system. You see revival. These three things are signs of corporate anointing. Let's read the scripture. Mark chapter 16 verse 18. I'm going to explain this one. We'll close them. The act of continuity. When an individual attack. So let's say God gave me an agenda. There's an agenda God wants to do over here. He will give me a tax. The tax will be go and preach over here. Or hold a program over here. By the time where, so you see how this ministry started. It started with what? Going to schools to preach, right? Then it moved on to camp meetings. Is that not so? Then from camp meetings, the various sub-ministries started coming out. So that we started as mass choir at camp is now Glory Incorporated. That we start as prayer warriors is now what? Watchers Intercessory what? Network. How did it start? An individual tax went to preach in a school. But now you see that it is now developing, or it has now developed into what? Local churches, discipleship or discipleship system, and then what else do we see? Revival. Read here. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, not Mark. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. Did you hear Jesus saying it?
He will do what? Build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Now, there was a revelation of God's agenda that Peter caught. At that time, it was called Simon. Do you know the revelation? God's agenda. He said, who do the son, who do people say that I am? And the agenda was that anybody who comes to know Christ, the agenda is that he to reveal his son to the world, that he's the savior for the world. That's God's agenda. The whole reason why Jesus came to earth to die or came here on earth is because that through him we will be saved. That also. So everybody must what? For there's no any other name under the heavens, on this earth, and under the earth that by which a man should be saved except the name of what? Christ. So the whole agenda of God was that Christ will be the epicenter of everybody's life. So he asked, who do they say I am? He wanted to know if men will get that agenda. And then Peter caught the revelation and he said, on this revelation, what will I do? To sustain this agenda, I will build what? My church. A corporate system. And the gate of hell cannot fight this whole revelation. So when God wanted to ensure continuity of a revelation of him, what did he do? He built a corporate system. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 44, you find out that discipleship system was part of how the church grew. The Bible said, and they continued, means that they didn't stop. After the Holy Ghost came down and everything happened, what happened? The continuity of that move, of that work of God, was secured by what? The apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. So, if we want to see the continuity of an act of God in a place, it is not in the individual tasks that they do. It is what the corporate anointing is able to secure in that place. So, you see that Church of Pentecost started by one Machion. What is happening now? Methodist started by one man called what? John Wesley. How many years now? Is it not still going on? So if it was only about him and he died, what would have become Methodist? Gone. So if we don't learn to balance the equation this way, balance the operation of the anointing this way, you will see that our individual tasks will consume us to the extent that all that we do. So you go to a particular church or a ministry, everybody that the man has raised is in the same church. They do nothing. They do nothing. No discipleship system. Every time, manifest. Catch, break, loose. No any form of discipleship to grow the people. There will not be continuity for that agenda. Now, in the aspect of the continuity with the corporate anointing, this system that I just mentioned is sustained by a principle called shared grace. Because of time factor, I'm just going to mention it to ensure you. How you will know that corporate anointing is working at a place and how corporate anointing makes continuity possible is what I already preached on catching the anointing principle. Do you remember I said that in catching the anointing, there's a principle called association? Do you remember that? Maybe you forgot, let me remind you. The principle of association is that the grace of God, the act of God flowing in a particular place, okay, through a particular person, can be multiplied and spread in the rest of the people because they are unified and the same anointing. And I made it clear to you that whatever ministry that you will operate in is an extension, is an overflow of the house, the head of the house. In other words, I cannot do beyond the overflow of Daddy Joe. That's why no matter what any of you here will try to become, we can see traces of teaching anointing in you. We can see traces of every operations of the man in you. Because that is how an anointing can be passed as a corporate system for the continuity. Example, David and his mighty men. Do you know that the Bible made it clear that nobody killed a giant except the men that David raised?
He killed the giant, and the people who killed giants recorded in scriptures were men he raised. What of Moses? Moses was a judge. When God wanted to raise judges to continue his work, the 70 men, what happened? God took the oil on his head and gave it to them. Shared grace. So when the anointing becomes corporate, you see that there is that very move of God operating in the same man shared among the people. And that one comes because there is discipleship. There is a church. There is revival. There are things we are doing to make sure that what is on the person moves to the next people. If we are here as a church and the effort is not to disciple you, the effort is not to groom you, the church will go nowhere. That's why you see that churches are collapsing now. Because if the pastor travel, finish. You know, people don't go to church because that is who has traveled. Oh, I've heard it. Many churches are collapsing now. Because the one who started the whole thing is no more. And because of this thing, hallelujah. Now let's wrap up and then we go home. The last one. So the activity of the anointing, which is the corporate anointing, is to ensure that God's agenda doesn't not extinct. So it moves in revival, moves through discipleship system. And so you see the atmosphere is kept. You don't change it. If you go to Church of Pentecost today, you'll find out that what they used to do before and still is still there. A church who believes in evangelism and Holy Ghost baptism, the act of the Holy Spirit. So you see it always multiplying in the people. Hallelujah. I wanted to give you a scripture. You can go and read it. Acts chapter 4 verse 33. On the same area. Because of time, I want to move on to the last aspect. Because I don't want to come back to this. The last one is the weight of impression. Another thing that we need to make sure that we are balanced in the operation of the anointing is what I call the weight of impression. What does that mean? The weight of impression is how we seek balance to make sure that the corporate anointing and the individual anointing is recognized by the individuals within and without. We don't let people are blinded by one side of the anointing. So one of the way we balance the operations of the anointing is that we make the people within, that means those within and without, have recognition of what a corporate anointing is and what an individual anointing is. If we don't do that, we are failing and there will be a problem. You see, when we see an unction at work, the impression it leaves on the mind of people is that God is using the one who is releasing the unction, true of us. When you go to a place and you see somebody laying hands and people are healed, what is the impression that it leaves on you? Ish, he's anointed. Ish, God is using this person. Ish, when somebody is singing and you see people, ish, so you want to go and tap. Tapping, tapping. Is that what leads you to go and tap? Most of you will come. See, as I'm here today, I'm teaching. Most of you will not come and then. But let me start prophesying right now. What's up? You see the queue of counseling that will happen right now here. So this thing happened at last year camp. I was there, you know, like camp as usual, moving around like to and fro, like the devil. That's what I do. I'm here. So most of the new people who came didn't even know that I was even a pastor. They just know that, oh yes. But they know pastor by touch, you know, oh, he's a pastor. Then Prophet Jericho made a mistake to invite me to come and not assist him in the deliveries of the prophetic. Do you know that after that evening, do you know the number of people who wanted to see me? It's normal. God does it so that people will recognize that he can use people. There are these earthen vessels. There are these what? Good, excellent things of God in earthen vessels. that God wants it to manifest for people to appreciate. So God is interested in people recognizing that he can use people. So there are times that God will pick somebody and then show him off. The anointing will run through the person, and then people within and without. I told you how in a school I prayed for a girl who was almost going blind, and then a Muslim came to share her problem with me that she prayed for her. Even those without, they know anointing. Power has no boundary. They don't care. Power has no boundary. Wherever there is power, people will go. But then he said, you don't need power. You will see a genuine church member leaving you, going to a place that you know is not correct, because you fail to show power. So God will allow power to flow through you. So they will see unction working on you, power flowing through you. But is that all? No. The people also must recognize another move of God's power in an atmosphere where they will also start to have the impression that God is here. Do you know that there are some places that you go, you can see that God is using somebody, but God is not there? Hello? Yeah. You go to a place, okay, and you see God using somebody mightily, but that place, God is not there. Because there are certain things that makes you to know that God is here, the atmosphere. So in as much as we have to appreciate how God used an individual, it is very important to acknowledge also the source that is using the person. And what makes us acknowledge the source that is using the person is the corporate anointing, the atmosphere. So a place that people will go, and then they see people using or being used, but they cannot see the one who is using them. Most times that source, question mark. That place, question mark. Because the true flow of an unction, are you following me, does not only point to the one being used, but the acknowledgement of the one who is using the person. So even though Elijah called down fire in a very mysterious way, are you following me, to burn a sacrifice, at the end of the day, the people acknowledge that Elijah has been used, a very powerful man, and they still say that God is what? Is God. If at the end of the day, when an unction flows through me, and the people only acknowledge me, but they have no reverence for where the source is coming from, they can't even see, recognize, there's a problem. Imbalanced use of the anointing. Thus, in the absence of corporate anointing in the believer's gathering, our appreciation of God using the individual can easily lead to the individual's act becoming an entertainment. When you go to a gathering where they do not acknowledge the place of corporate anointing, whatever the individual will be doing there is not far from an act of entertainment. That's why now we prefer to go for most worship gatherings, because we are entertained. It's not a showbiz. Oh, most of the worship programs, music programs you organize in Ghana right now, if I should rate it, that I'll not offend you, I will only say that 10% are spiritually oriented. The rest of the 90 are showbiz. Because we go there to be entertained by the nice voice, by the good instrumentals, by the good songs they are singing. Am I lying? We go for prophetic service, and what we do is we are interested in clapping and shouting. Hush! Oh, it's deep. Deep in hearts. So the people are not there to recognize the act of God, but they want to see somebody showing power. So they are waiting for their name to be full name. Is yes, I can say I'm a kind, some kind. Obebo. Yeah, Jesus. So you see, it becomes an act of entertainment. And what happens is that the people there are without conviction, or the people are without any holy hour for God.
Because the weight of impression is imbalanced. Never seek to be so individualistic in the operations of the things of God without not thinking of the corporate atmosphere. That is why I like Apostle Selman. Do you know how he does it? Not to put so much attention on him. When he preaches for some time, then he starts to sing. Then he asks all of you to join him. You see, by the time you people are done singing for 2-3 minutes, you are somewhere. You will not even notice he's ministering to you. You see, some men of God do so. See, there are certain things men of God do so intentionally to make sure that they don't become the only focus. Because they want you to have a reverence for God. They want their thing to be an act of conviction. But the moment we want to impress, we want them to know that, yes, I am also anointed. At that moment, you are drifting from the weight of impression. You end up impressing them to the point that they only know a man who God uses, but do not know a God who uses man. And when that happens, those people will become people who seek entertainment. They will become people who move without conviction. They will become people who have no any reverence for God. So when they come to the presence of God, when they come to church, all they know is that today pastor will preach. Finish. Pastor sermon is good. They were not convicted. But those who would build the atmosphere where that they'll make sure that your focus is also on God, you will leave there convicted. Transformation is not achieved by only what the pastor is saying. It's an atmosphere thing. Because the Bible said that he that walketh with the wise shall become wise. I pray, as we bring to an end the balanced operation of the anointing, you see, God is going to use most of you. I see greatness birth out of many of you. See, the things I'm talking about here is not only related to the work of the pulpit. I'm talking about how God, in our individual level of operations, gifts and calling, God is going to use us. But how do we balance the operation? How do we balance the operation? Are we just going to be so interested in the individuals and forget the atmosphere of operation? So I keep telling those who work at the hospital that if you don't pray to take charge of that atmosphere, you may do all you do by your own anointing, but you see that the devil will continue to infest many people and attack many people. That is why when you go to a place, the Bible instructed the people of Israel in Jeremiah that seek the peace. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the place you are taken captive. For that, in that peace, you what? You will prosper. The reason is that when the atmosphere is in the hands of God, then the individual unction can be recognized and the impact can be great. I pray that we have a change of mind. That's why you see Christians who are in the same place, they don't see why they should meet together to pray. Sometimes you think that when you go to your schools, they have Christian fellowships, the hospitals, the banks, and those, you think it's just for anything. No, it's because we believe that corporate anointing must work over there. The atmosphere must belong to God. I pray that wherever you go right now, you will begin to seek that. Wherever you are, may you begin to bring 2 or 3 people, and then you start to say that this atmosphere, God must have it. This atmosphere must belong to God. I tell you, it is on that you will rise. If God does not break through that atmosphere, you are not breaking through. You work and work and work, but it will be very futile. Some of you are investing into business. Some of you are investing into things, and you see struggle. The question is, do you know those involved in that thing that you can come together and begin to commit the atmosphere to God? Anama Vasaya. It is time that we have a different orientation. That we need to be balanced in the operations of the anointing. Some of you are so anointed. I tell you, the unseen of God that can flow through you, the things it can do. But the reason why the result is not seen is because the atmosphere is not in your favor. You have also led people to be so focused on you, and they are not focused on Him who is using you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer and begin to ask God, the Father, help us to be balanced. Help us to be balanced. We are calling for revival. If we cannot come together, there will not be revival. If we cannot come together, there will not be revival. Help us. God wants to use us. You see, we must be hungry for power. If you are powerless, oh God, what people can do to you? We must begin to spill power.
The Bible said the kingdom of God is not of words, but it's of power. It is time we spill power. Manda brasanda kavasaya. Kondele mavasudi lava kataya. Shala mando romo mo civila kataya. Now, as we gather here together as church, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. We declare that the atmosphere, the power. You see, when we make declarations in the beginning of prayer, that we take charge of the atmosphere, we bind every ears. It is not because we want to say them. It's because we believe that there must be an atmosphere over this place. An atmosphere that causes transformation. An atmosphere that will arrest and change the heart of men. We're in contention for atmosphere. Oh, we take charge of the stratospheres. we take charge of the hemispheres. Because we need an atmosphere. Theophilus Sunday said, there is an atmosphere that nothing is impossible. And no disease is incurable. By our individual anointing, we may be limited in some form of dimensions of oppression. But when the atmosphere is taken over, so we have to pray for a longer reach. The scope of impact must be expanded by the corporate anointing. It is not that by individual anointing. We are limited. But when the scope of impact is expanded. Oh, Mandela Messiah. I said something is about to happen to this nation. Because an unction of God and an atmosphere of God is about to come together. And I tell you, it shall be like a wind that cannot be stirred. Because a generation will rise who would, by the help of God, take over to unction, and by the atmosphere, take over a place. Whatever you are, may you take over that place. I declare that you will rule over that place. May the Spirit of God take over that atmosphere. Maka paladia satakaya. Inketne mesoleva andakaya. You don't need to be 5 and 6 and 7, but just a few of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe.